Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
This music is so scary.
What music?
You don't hear that?
Hear what?
Uh-oh.
Who are you?
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, asking the tribe to call in haunted places in Connecticut. What do we get so far? Dudleytown?
Right.
And Hookman's.
That's it.
I know exactly where Hookman's is. I'm going to go.
There you go. See? You go at night.
Heard about it my entire life.
It's only scary at night or during the day, too. Because during the day, I feel like I do like much better. But during nighttime, forget about it. Like, things are less scary in the daytime.
It's just, you know, everyone has heard this story.
Yeah.
For different places in the country. But this Hookman specifically had this story where the guy and the girl are in the car making out.
Right.
The guy has to go out and relieve himself. And he says, no matter what, don't get out of the car. So he goes. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 20 minutes.
Right.
And she hears this weird noise on the roof.
Big mosquitoes.
Of the car.
Triple E.
She finally gets out of the car because it's just been so long.
He said not to get out of the car.
I know.
She can't listen?
He was hanging upside down with his throat slit from a tree and his fingernails were scratching.
Oh, my God.
On the roof.
I was going to put a damper on a date.
I heard that story. I'm like, I don't need to ever go there.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good, yeah.
Yeah. Chris from Aunt Sonia.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
I've been to Dudleytown when I was back in high school. It was about roughly 15, 20 years ago. And even though Lorraine Warren said, don't ever go there. The condemned place. We decided, hey, what the hell?
Right. This is like every movie.
Yep.
Don't go there.
They tell you. First thing you do, you go there. Exactly.
It's cursed, I'll tell you.
You're going to die.
You're all going to die.
Well, it specifically said, don't bring anything back with you. Of course, the first thing we do.
Pine cone.
Now, interestingly enough, I haven't never believed in any spirits, ghosts, whatever, nothing. Never felt a thing. Just 2 weeks ago, I start seeing my kitchen faucet turn on and off by itself, like something standing in front of it. It's one of those with a sensor.
Okay.
Randomly, as we're sitting there, the dogs will start staring at someone in the hallway. They're both staring at the same spot, start yapping for a little bit, and they shut up. And they're looking at it, and they're definitely seeing something there. I can't see it. I can't feel it. Don't really know what's going on, but it is starting to creep me out a little bit, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Not sure if it's related to what we brought back from Dudleytown, but I definitely live in a haunted house. I just moved up here in Estonia a year ago.
Right.
How about...
There's definitely something going on. I can't not believe in it anymore. I guess that's the way I put it.
Or a faulty sensor on the faucet.
Could be that.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Dudleytown? Do you know the story behind that?
Yeah, I guess the town was covered in lead, or it was lead poisoning in the water. Town got buried over, a bunch of weird stuff happened, all the wildlife died.
Yeah, but this lead poisoning or whatever it was that affected the town, it got really weird.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
All right.
No, sorry.
No, that's okay.
Well, it's obviously they erased your memory.
Yeah. The rock.
Still got the rocks. I can bring them in if you guys want them.
No, we're good. Thank you. No, yeah. Just toss them in.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And don't bring the rock here with you if you win the passes to Legends of Fear.
Yeah, don't give it to Henry. No.
Right.
Yeah.
No, so, I'll go back and grab flip-flops for AJ.
Oh, appreciate right, it. Thank you. If you find me, go for it.
You are in the running, Chris. Thank you.
Have a good day, guys.
You too.
You too. Christine and Stamen.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, my place is Guntown Cemetery.
Guntown Cemetery?
Yes.
G-U-N Town Cemetery.
Yes, it's in Naugatuck. I live not even like a 3-minute drive to it. on the woods connecting from where I lived from the cemetery. We used to get so much traffic, haunted traffic, to my apartment complex. It was
traffic?
Like Grand Central Station.
So now the traffic, was it ghosts or people going to see ghosts?
No, well, both. around this time in Halloween, they have police presence there, so you can't go there. But yeah, no, a traffic way for ghosts.
Oh.
Like anything from like spirits, ghosts, to shapeshifters, you name it. It was there.
They were all caught in traffic.
Shapeshifter.
Well, I found that too. It says established in 1790, this place was home to members of both sides of the revolution. There are a lot of restless spirits, claims mm-hmm. ranging from the laughter of children to a man atop a horse.
Oh.
Yes. Anyway. Now you want to know the scariest part?
What's that?
2008, my girlfriend came to visit me from Canada. We thought we'd go hit Guntown Cemetery, go walk around. We pulled up to the curbside. We didn't get more than 100 yards where I couldn't walk anymore. It's like I was frozen to the grass. And we looked at each other. I could turn my head. That was all we could do. We were frozen. And we heard rustling in the woods, but there was no woods around anymore. And eventually I said, no, let's just go back to the car. This is really weird. I'm hearing things. Let's go back to the car. So after saying that and saying a prayer to God, we were able to move again. We went back to the car. When I went back to my apartment complex, not even like 3 minutes down the road, we got out in the parking lot and we heard this running, these hooves, like horse hooves running across the parking lot. And it was really, really intense.
What was the prayer that you said to God?
I said, God, just please let us out of here without
being harmed. Wow.
Ew.
Can't believe that. If you were frozen and said, let it go, let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Exactly.
Let me walk, let me go, let me go.
Let me go.
So after that experience, that's so funny, but after that experience, we started researching more about it. And yeah, all those claims are true. We, like, to walk in the grass when there's no woods around and hearing rustling like leaves in the woods, and voices, and then it's like being stuck in the grass like a fly on flypaper. You can't move.
Has anyone had a gun town before?
It's scary.
It's very scary.
Extremely scary,
it's
yes.
not pretty scary. It's very scary.
Extremely scary, yeah.
Yeah.
Has anyone heard of gun town before?
Never have.
I've lived here my whole life. Not with the exception of like 6 years.
Right.
Never heard of it.
Right.
Guntown Cemetery, it's up Rubber Avenue Extension in Naugatuck, and it's in between that and Andrew Mountain.
Gotcha.
But closer to Rubber Avenue Extension.
Go to the gift shop.
Guntown Cemetery. Oh, I want to know more. Like, why is it called Guntown?
Exactly.
Really?
I don't know, but there are graves back to 1800 in there.
Right. Wow.
A massive deer crashed through a storefront window of a salon, goes bananas, then runs out the door. We played you the audio yesterday. Here it is again. Never seen anything like it in my life.
Lost a flat iron.
Janice Heredia, owner of Beautiful Hair Salon in Lake Ronkonkoma, New York, on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Are you in that video? Are you the person cutting hair?
Yes. I'm also the person that's screaming.
You're saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, right? That's you?
Understandable. Yeah,
I
totally.
Thought that was you.
Yeah. I'd be screaming as well.
Right.
Right. So take us through that. You're there, you're cutting hair.
Yes, I'm cutting hair, and then all of a sudden I hear this loud noise in my mind, and I said this before, I'm thinking it's a car that just went through the window, because I would never imagine a deer is coming through the window.
Right. Right. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, one of your appointments at 10:30.
Yeah, especially on the main street like that, it was bizarre. And when I look towards my left, I just see a deer head in my direction, and the only thing I could think of just get out of his way.
Good thinking.
That's a good thought.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like a bull.
Let's move.
Yeah.
Right, so it runs in the back of the store, goes off camera. What does it do when it runs in the back of the store?
So in the back of the store, there's a break room. He slams actually into a mirror storage.
Yeah.
He runs into that, which I'm surprised that didn't break. There was blood all over on that. And then all of a sudden, he backs into the break room. And there's actually footage where there's blood over the break room. Oh. And he comes right back out. When he comes out, he goes and slams into a station and a mirror. And luckily, that didn't break either. And then that's when he ran out. And that's how he ended up having the flat iron on him.
Right. Did you ever find it again? Was it in the parking lot or is it gone forever?
He's, to my knowledge, he's gone forever. And he crossed the street again.
Now, AJ was talking about the flat iron.
Yeah.
The flat iron.
That's expensive equipment.
My assistant found it.
There you go.
That's unbelievable.
Where was it?
It was across the street in the parking lot of IHOP.
Is there a deer problem on Long Island? We did the story yesterday. A couple of people emailed me that the island's just overrun with deer.
At this point, yes. There is, but I just never thought in that area because it's so busy.
Right.
But yeah, we do have an issue with that.
But was there any reason for the deer to jump through the window? Was it being chased by someone? Did it almost get hit by a car?
I found there's a video out that this deer was in somebody's yard running around going crazy, and he jumped over the fence, and then all of a sudden they show my video.
Gotcha.
That happened the same day.
Okay.
It's a rogue deer.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, this deer just had a bad, really bad day and could not get himself back to where he should be.
Yeah. No. Or an appointment that day.
Poor
kind
guy.
Of like, I was like, a pedicure, please? What? Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Out of here.
He came in for a massage.
Exactly.
Phil had a real interesting play-by-play with the video. So the deer comes through the window and jumps over a seat that someone's sitting in. That was one of your customers.
Yeah.
Your customer gets up, takes a few steps away, holds up a little, like, napkin.
Like a jacket. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In front of her face.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. Will she get a bullfight? Exactly.
Or you can't see me now.
You can't see me. I'm not here.
Invisible.
I don't think she realized what was going on.
Oh, really?
It was a little crazy, I don't think. And then she was worried more about me. She's like, you okay? But she was the one that hit by the deer.
But I like what she does right after, you know, the deer is in the break room.
Having some coffee. and a donut.
She's like, oh, that's a good idea. And she leans over and grabs her coffee off of the couch.
Yeah, you know.
Right. Yeah. Now, there might be glass shards in it, but I want to save that coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's such a sweetheart. I don't think it clicked what was happening.
Yeah. So afterwards, yeah.
She looks dazed. I mean, you just had like a 300-pound animal hurdle its entire body over your shoulder through a glass window.
You're trying to process now. What just happened? Here, let me grab my coffee.
Yeah, this will help me. Yes.
Yeah. I don't want this spill on the couch.
No, of course not. No.
I've either had too much of this or not enough. Yeah.
Now, the dude in the chair that was getting his haircut, did you finish that haircut?
I did. After he helped clean up the salon, I finished up the haircut and the course.
Nice.
I did not charge him because he helped so much.
Wow. That's unreal.
Ben, you cut one piece too much.
And no one caught the deer. The deer is still on the loose?
Yeah. And I still had to run the salon. I still kept going. As there was glass all over the floor, I was cutting hair, doing a trial for a wedding.
Wow.
And hey, we're open for business.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're just
open.
Just
really
more
open
than normal.
Yeah, really open.
You could walk through the door or the window.
Wear your jacket. Yes.
Cutting his hair is real lucky because when that deer crashed through the window, you had the scissors where it wasn't right next to his head. Because when I watch that video, the only thing that I see is you just can't help. You have to just turn your head and see, what the hell was that? And just thank God those scissors weren't next to, like, his eyeball or his ear, like, right when that happened.
Did you check?
Yes. And I thought about that after the fact as well. It was, like, a good thing that I, you know, I didn't have it. I could even been nervous and stabbed him by mistake.
Right. Whose bangs are these? Whose bangs are these? Are these blowing anybody? Whose bangs?
Yeah.
Right.
Oops.
I just stabbed you.
I'm sorry. I got nervous.
I'm freaking out, man. I'm freaking out.
I have an ear over here. Blowing anybody? Anybody? Check yourself. Check yourself.
Or imagine if you were like, just, you know, cleaning up his neck with a buzz cutter, and then he turned, right, and he's like, has a swipe, racing stripe across his
neck. Awesome!
Now the landing strip, yeah.
Like, he has this beautiful long hair, and you're just kind of cleaning up around the edge, and then like,
I'm going to call you Buzz from now on.
I was actually doing that before.
Oh.
I buzzed him before, and then I did the scissors on top.
See?
Oh, man, that was close.
Right. The deer knew to wait. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Very polite.
And you
deer.
Know what? He was late to his appointment, so technically, if he came 15 minutes earlier, he would have been done.
Yeah,
so
he was God. I love you.
It was God's will. There you go.
This is, see, you got to be on time for your appointment. That's right. The lesson here.
Absolutely.
Now, what's been the reaction of the town? Is it now we got to get these pesky deer, or we got to have a hunt now?
Make appointments.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all talking about all that stuff, which is crazy to me because I don't want to, you know, I don't believe in hunting, but I don't know. They're even talking about, I don't know what exactly what they want to do, but they don't want them to keep producing, so they want to do something about that.
Oh,
right. Yeah, because what are you going to do? Now they're running down Main Street.
Exactly.
Lake Ronkonkoma.
Right.
So. I don't know. I think there was something wrong with that one. It looked very erratic.
Yeah. Well, ran through a window.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think there was something, because if he was actually in somebody's yard acting that way, I think that something's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, someone's pot plants are missing.
Could be. Well, there's that zombie deer out in Nevada.
Yeah.
And there's they have them in New York and Pennsylvania. It's some virus. It's very contagious among deer.
Right.
And so now if you go hunting out of state and you hunt a deer, you can't bring parts of the deer back. And they say when you're butchering the deer, you have to have, one, the meat tested. Two, you have to not handle the brain or the spine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a thing. And this kind of sounds like it could be that.
Yeah.
It could be something, yes. He seemed a little bit off.
Yeah.
Well, he did run through windows.
He did seem a little off.
Yeah.
Well, and he crossed the street twice and did not get hit by a car.
Right.
It's crazy.
So weird. So weird.
Bizarre.
I'm guessing you're getting lots of interview requests from all over the country.
Yes. Yesterday, I did 4 interviews in the salon.
Wow.
And what's the, like, has anyone from another country reached out to you? Because that video is everywhere. Canada?
Nice.
That sounds like a Canada story.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I thought it was a moose, so that works.
Are you wearing camo now?
Oh, wait. Yeah, we need to address that.
Yes.
Ashley thought it was a moose, so you can confirm for us now that it was not a moose.
No.
No.
I saw the video very early yesterday morning, and I swear it was a moose at one point.
Not a moose! Not a moose! By the damn deer comb!
All right, well, we're glad you're okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. We think you handled it perfectly. I noticed you grabbed your cell phone immediately. Was that to take a picture or to call 911?
To call 911 and to have it next to me, just, you know.
Yeah.
If I needed it at the moment.
A connection with the outside world.
Yeah, like the glass company, for example.
Yeah.
Fix this window, quickly.
It costs a lot of money. Got to make sure it doesn't break.
Yes.
So did you call 911 and the first responders show up and they take a report? How does that work?
Yes, I did call 911. I had to take a report for insurance purposes.
Right. Okay, describe the deer. Mm. Well, it was a deer.
Right.
Had 8 points on it.
They couldn't believe what they were hearing over the radio as they come in. They were like, I had to come. There was some cops that just came just to see what was happening.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. A deer, you said?
They said, yeah.
That's right.
Let me smell your breath.
A deer went through a window. I got to go. I'm like 3 miles away, but I got to check.
You've been drinking?
It turned into the shift change meeting place.
Exactly. Like,
we got to take a look at this.
Right now, there's hunters waiting there.
Yep. Wow. That's unreal. Did anyone comment on the size of the deer and did you get a count on how many points it was?
What do you mean points?
The points on the antlers.
Yeah.
No, I did not. Actually, I did not count that.
They were moving too fast.
Yeah.
We thought 6 to 8, which that's a big deer.
Yes, it was. Yeah. He was definitely big.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're glad you're okay. Nice job handling that.
Thank Thank you.
Attorney Brittany Pass in studio. We're linked up to her at WPLR.com. We met you through Norm Pattis, who's defending Fotis Doulos.
Yes. I used to work for Norm. I worked for Norm for 5 years right after I got out of law school.
Wow. And what do you think about this Fotis Doulos case?
I think he is entitled to a defense. I don't think we should formulate any opinions about him in general, just because you don't want to taint the jury
pool.
Now,
when you say we, do you mean everybody? Because we watch the news and this is what we do.
Yeah.
Well, for you in particular, I wouldn't necessarily broadcast your opinion because you can have an effect on my jury pool if right. I was representing Fotis Doulos. But I have spoken to a number of people who have already formulated an opinion. So for Norm, it's going to be really hard to filter those people out when he starts picking a jury.
Do you hire a professional to ask the jurors questions?
No, we do our voir dire ourselves, but there are juror professionals that, you know, sit with you when you do voir dire to try to
and what
get
they
juror
tell
profiles.
You? So they're just sitting back watching.
That's right.
And then they'll make little notes like that person's out, that person's lying.
Right. So, I mean, the reason why there is a gag order right now is to try to prevent that further tainting of the jury pool. So I think we talked about how Norm has appealed that gag order. He thinks it's too broad because we are defending, not we, but Norm is defending Fotis in the media to some extent just because of everything that's been released so far. They're releasing warrants with pretty prejudicial information in there. And so how do you address that before there's a trial? You go into the media. So that's why he thinks
it's a tough case, though, right?
It is very tough.
What do you think the weaknesses are in the state's case?
Well, the fact that they don't have a body is the biggest weakness. And that's probably part of the reason.
They have blood and they have her shirt.
Well,
it don't look good.
It doesn't look good. We don't know how much blood there is. We don't know where they found the blood. We don't know a lot of information. And Norm is trying to get some information out of the state. And discovery has not been forthcoming. And I know he's filed a number of motions to try to get that information.
So do you think they wait until they see where this gag order is before they start giving him that evidence?
No, I think that they're not giving the evidence to him because it's still an active investigation. I think that the Stanford state attorney does want to hit him with murder, but I don't think that they're finished with their investigation and they definitely want to have a body. So they're not giving any information to Norm, and Norm is complaining because, hey, listen, how do I defend my client when you're making representations in the warrant, but you're not giving me any of the backup information that supports these representations in the warrant? So Norm is a little frustrated, and if I was Fotis's attorney, I would be frustrated too.
So right now he's only charged with
tampering. Right.
There seems to be a lot of evidence to support that, my opinion. Just from reading the warrant.
But do you see what I'm saying? Reading the warrant with these representations, but we don't have any of the information that supports those representations in the warrant. You understand?
Yeah.
So there's documentation that backs up those statements in the warrant, and nobody has that. So
if half of what they're saying is true, and they're able to prove it, he's going to do time for evidence tampering. So why would you rush to charge him with murder when you know this guy's going to be on ice for a while? Can't go anywhere. Has to wear the anklet.
It's going to be there.
Going to probably go through a long trial with this. There's plenty of time to sit back and wait for the murder charge now.
Well, I mean, there's no statute of limitations on murder, but I think that probably the goal is before the tampering goes to trial to have hit him with that murder charge. But I mean, most people don't realize how long justice takes. I have clients that are waiting for trials for 2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then who knows how long after that.
Yeah.
Right. And appeals and whatnot. Yeah. We're used to it wrapping up in like a 30 to 60 minute episode.
On Law and Order. Exactly.
Yeah. With commercials.
With commercials. Yeah. No, but it takes 2 years. And if you're incarcerated because you can't post bond, that 2 years is a long time.
Fotis Doulos, how do you think this thing will unravel? You think there'll be murder charges?
I think there will be a murder charge. I think Norm thinks that, too.
Yeah.
I think there's no way around it. I think the public kind of expects it. I think that the Stanford state attorney has career ambitions that probably
career
made
ambitions,
off of
right.
this case, and he
That's
knows that
Colangelo,
too.
Right?
Yes.
And is he the state's best? Would you say he's the top tier?
He's one of the state's best, yes.
Right.
So he's an excellent attorney.
Oh, and you think he'll run for some office at some point?
I don't know that he'll run for office, but I think that he probably wants to be the chief state's attorney.
Oh, okay.
And I think that that job is open or will be opening.
Well, when when you have a big case like this, this is not when you want to screw up.
That's right.
No.
Right. I think he wants to have all his ducks in a row. That's why it hasn't happened yet, but I think it's going to happen.
Right.
It's on the way.
It's on the way, yes.
What advice would you give to FOTUS?
Well, I think he's doing a really good job of staying out of the public eye, you know, staying off of
really?
Social media.
The Dateline.
I always say him on there.
Well, that is different. So if you notice, he didn't say anything about the case. All he said was, I love my children, you know, just let this thing play out. He really didn't say, he didn't give any information that would have affected his timeline, a statement that would have contradicted statements that he had made in the past that were relevant to the investigation. So all it really, the purpose was it of it was just to soften his image.
Yeah, we had a body language person look at it, said mm-hmm. it was a disaster.
Well, you know, I mean, aside from the body language, but that was the only purpose of it. It wasn't to provide the public with any information
time,
on the case.
Every time there's microphones, he walks up to them, says something about his children.
That's right.
Would you advise him against that, or you think that's
that a good move?
I think that the public is concerned about the children, and that because the public is so concerned about the children, I think he feels like he has to do it.
Would you give Norm any advice?
I don't think Norm needs my advice. Norm is an excellent attorney, and Norm is doing everything he can to defend FOTUS.
All right. What about the rest of us? What would you tell us?
Don't jump to conclusions.
Too late.
Damn it. It's already happened.
You couldn't jump. Yeah.
Don't formulate an opinion,
please. That was me before.
Right.
Yeah.
This is
How about you two, marketing department? What do you think? Do you think he did it?
Plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth.
See, that's a lawyer term.
Yeah.
That's a lawyer term. You're good. You have a gift.
Well, when you're picking the jury, that's going to be the hard part.
It is.
Because anyone who says they don't have an opinion on this, I don't think they're being honest.
Yeah, we're going to find a jury here in Connecticut.
So what do you do?
Well, because they're being inundated with all the information, but that's why I'm saying is you don't have all the information. All you have are these clips from Warren saying other stuff. That
the one person on the planet that would most like her to disappear is really kind of unaccounted for the time she disappeared.
Every husband, every husband,
you
when
know
there's
this
a wife disappears,
uphill.
It right. is an uphill battle, but every yeah. husband, when a wife disappears, he is suspect number one.
I got that.
Wow.
But I don't know, just a little bit that I know. He went and got the car while he borrowed
the whole seat
cameras,
thing. Yeah.
The car's here,
but this is Norm's
mile
point.
Away from...
But this is Norm's point. If he can't address these issues, you're releasing these things to the public. The
right.
public sees the warrant, and he can't address these things because now he's a subject of a gag order.
I get that. Yeah.
I'm not subject to a gag order, but Norm can't address these things with you because right. he has this gag order.
So I would guess when you're picking a jury, you would say, have you formed an opinion? Yes. And then what would the next question be? Would you have an open mind? Would you be
right.
able to listen to stuff with an open
right.
mind?
So you ask them, have you formulated an opinion? And the response, if the response is yes, and then you say, okay, well, if you have formulated an opinion, don't tell me what that opinion is because I can't ask you what the opinion is.
Oh, really?
That's against the law?
Yes, I can't ask you what the opinion is, but you can say, after listening to all the evidence, are you open to considering that evidence and changing that opinion? And if the answer is no, then the defense would have to move for cause to excuse that person. In a case such as this, what the judge may do, the trial judge, is just in group, you have a group veneer panel, and just might say, okay, I know that there's been a crazy amount of media coverage in this case. If you formulate an opinion, please raise your hand. And then...
boom.
And
right.
Yeah,
everybody.
Let's narrow this down as fast
right.
as we can. Let's
just get this down as fast as possible.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
So the judge may do that. I don't know who the trial judge may be, but, you know.
How long do you think before we're there. And now, will there be a jury for the evidence tampering, or is there?
Yes,
that's yes. There's a jury.
It's a jury
for that.
Issue, right? Well, so if they're going to try the if he's already been indicted for murder, they'll probably try it at the same time, and then at that point, you need a jury of 12. But if they're just trying the tampering, it's a jury of 6 with probably like 2 alternates, maybe 3.
And you think that'll all happen together? That would be your
right.
prediction. It'll all happen at
right.
the same
I
time,
think they
so
would
the
try
charges will come before that.
Right. Well, and if, as I said, murder has no statute of limitations. So, I mean, he could theoretically not be charged with that by the time he goes to trial for the tampering.
All right.
I think they'll be tried together.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
You're great. We got to have you back.
Thank you so
Attorney
much.
Brittany Paz, pretty amazing rescue yesterday in Hamden. Hamden police officer rescued a 95-year-old woman from a burning home. It happened around 3 o'clock on Russo Drive. Hamden Police Sergeant Jason Venditto was on his way home and is on the show now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for what you do.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So take us through it. You're on your way home.
Yeah. I was working an extra duty assignment. I was on my way home, driving home in my cruiser to actually go change and get ready for my next shift starting at 4. When I heard the call come in for a structure fire, which was pretty close by my house. And so I figured I should probably respond since I was only about 30 seconds away.
Nice.
So you pull up, and what did you see?
I pulled up. I saw a large amount of smoke coming from the right side of the home, fire coming from the second floor. So I approached the front door. I wanted to see if there was anybody inside. But when I opened the front door, there was all I could see was black smoke. I wasn't able to get inside.
Right.
So I just ran around the other side of the house. I saw another back door open, and I kind of inside the lower level of the house, I saw an elderly woman just sitting inside the. Actually, she was just standing in the room, just surrounded by thick black smoke, and actually the flames were right above her in the bedroom.
Oh my God.
It's like a confused state. Like,
so wait, that back door that was open was you mean unlocked or it was wide open?
It was wide open.
That's weird.
It was a storm door.
Yeah. So I just just ran in there and I said, "Ma'am, we got to get out of here." And she said she couldn't walk. She needed her walker. So I just basically gave her a giant bear hug and carried her out.
There you go. See?
Oh.
This
oh,
wants
man.
To go. Yeah.
Man. That,
yeah.
That's incredible. I think she would have probably not done well had you not gone in there.
In a couple of minutes, will that smoke? No.
Yeah, it doesn't take long when you breathe in a lung full of smoke.
So she was looking for her walker, so she couldn't even move. So if you didn't go in there, that, you know. She wasn't
and she and she was very concerned about her cat that was I think is still missing.
Oh, that's my next question. Any pets?
Oh no.
Oh, that's sad.
Bummer.
Poor kitty.
Yeah.
But she made it out thanks to you.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah. So did you so what happens next? Fire department arrives, ambulance arrives?
Yeah, right after I carried her outside, the fire department came and they knocked the fire down pretty quickly. They do a very good job.
And then she goes on oxygen, gets an ambulance, goes to the hospital?
Yeah, as more of a precautionary reason.
Yeah. Did you do your next shift?
I'm sorry?
Did you do your next shift?
Did I what?
Your next shift.
Oh, my next shift?
Yeah.
What about it?
Did you do it?
Yes, I did. I worked 4 to 12.
Wow.
How about you? Do you speak English?
I do.
Oh, good. Try it. So have you communicated with her? I heard she's doing okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't had any communication with her, but yeah, I did hear she's doing fine.
Well, that's the next shot. We want to see you two together, right? I'm sure the local media is going to want to put you two in a room together.
Yeah, she was a lovely lady.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I mean, it's I love these stories. And you could have just said, well, I'm going home. I'm going to change. There's other people around to do this. So thank you for that.
Thank God you did.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I feel like the radio station should buy you dinner.
At the very least.
Yeah. Where would you like to go? What's your place? Where do you like to go?
That's quite all right. Your support is enough.
Yeah. All right. We're going to find a place in Hamden. Do you go to Hamden, or are you like, I'm a cop in Hamden, I'm going somewhere else to eat?
I'm born and raised in Hamden. I'm a Hamdenite.
All right. What's the best place in Hamden?
Oh, well, you know mine. Micro.
Micro?
I can't give free press here.
Right. You know what'll happen, right? Because you'll make one place happy and then every other place not happy.
Nobody'll like me anymore.
Okay, well, tell us at least what kind of food you like.
Yeah, what kind of food do you like?
Grilled chicken.
Nice.
Grilled chicken.
All right. All right. KFC it is.
Well, he's got to keep himself in shape in case he has to run into a burning building.
Right.
How about grilled chicken like in a taco? Oh.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to get that audio off the air, and then I want to buy you dinner.
I appreciate that.
Man, this is good stuff. I love these stories. No, you're great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Thanks.
The police department appreciates your support.
Thanks for coming on. I know you're not a big interview guy, and I know you made an exception with us. I appreciate that.
Only for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you. Hamden Police Sergeant Jason Venditto saved a 95-year-old woman. They're so modest. They don't want to say,
I know.
It was, you know, they make it sound like, hey, you know, I just walked in. She was standing there and pulled her out.
Job, yep.
Gave her a bear hug.
Yep.
Pulled her out.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Really?
Thank goodness he was so close, like 30 seconds away.
30 seconds
no
away.
No kidding. No
But then
kidding.
Went in.
Went in twice.
Right. Went in the front, went in the back.
Yep.
And he got the full morning show experience. He got AJ not talking right.
Or his cell phone didn't get it.
No. Authentic. Like, how many times did he say, what'd you say? What about it?
It was clear as glass.
It was not.
I beg to differ.
So thank you, Sergeant.
Yes.
Thanks to all our police officers.
And he's got a familial connection to somebody here in the office. So Andrew Krause, who was here Friday filling in for me, his wife Megan is cousins with Sergeant Venditto.
Get out! Yeah.
Is what he told her?
Yeah, so I'm gonna find out what his restaurant is. Megan's gonna tell us.
Please do.
There you go. See, intel.
She just wrote me, I'll take dinner if he doesn't.
Nice. All right. Not too proud.
Phil's gonna do sports, but first he wants to play a clip.
Yeah. Did you do your next shift?
I'm sorry?
Did you do your next shift?
Did I what?
Your next shift.
Oh, my next shift?
Yeah.
What about it?
Did you do it?
Yes, I did. I worked 4 to 12.
Wow.
How about you? Do you speak English?
I do.
Oh, good. Try it.
Jason, good? You guys good? Move this bell over here. That's coming up any moment.
Hey. My fault.
I love you, man.
Yeah, shows.
You're 100% AJ.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
It's a good thing.
Oh, 10 o'clock yet.
It's a very serious interview talking about rescuing a woman out of a burning house. And you're like,
did you do it? All right. You don't stop with that goddamn button right now. I'm going to break your freaking finger off. I'm just going to tell you right now, okay? Just letting you know right now.
You're looking over at Phil's room.
What I was trying to convey was the fact that he went from doing a shift to another shift. And
he
then
did an extra duty shift.
Yeah, and then rescued a lady. Did he go to the next shift?
Right.
I was trying to convey how
there was
hard
never
this
a
guy
break
worked.
In between.
Exactly. They
right.
kept on going like a machine.
Yes.
And it just.
No, it's an excellent point
right.
to make in the interview. It's like you did an extra duty shift. You were driving home to change your clothes.
To do your next shift.
And then you go into a burning building and then you do your 4 to 12.
Right.
Like most people stop home between shifts to like shower, nap, eat. He's like, I'm just going to save this old lady.
Exactly.
To me.
That was
like,
his break time.
Running into a burning building is a kind of like, all right. I
think you're done for the day.
I think I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
Like, all right. We got that.
And no one would complain about it. No one would say, no, I'm sorry. You owe another shift.
Good deed for the day done.
Yeah. Then the 4 to 12 after that.
Right.
Another 8 freaking hours.
No, it was a great point to make. And you made the point. We got the answer. But it was in such an AJ way.
Yeah. Did you do it? Again, your finger off that button. I'm telling you right now, you have to call that cop again. And he's not going to make it here fast enough. Do you understand those words? Those are clear.
Come on, man. You got to admit that's funny.
Maybe in a couple of days.
Oh, all right. Got you. Like right now, it's not funny.
Right now, the pain in my stomach will not allow me to divulge.
All right. It was a good moment.
For you guys. Not for me. Not going to hear it.
You can hear in my voice, I'm slightly annoyed.
Yes, right? You can hear it.
Yeah. How about you? Do you speak English?
I do.
Oh, good. Try it. I get mad and then I get embarrassed that I get mad.
I like some people would get uncomfortable and he just was like, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
He just immediately started laughing.
Because the hero, I won't say anything.
No, he is.
Well, because I'm sure that's how it's at the station. Like, if you screw up, you get ribbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But then they have your back.
Yeah.
Right. They do. Yeah.
So.
Did you do it? Unlike here, where they're behind your back, they're doing something totally different.
Yeah, no, here's a different story.
Yes.
We don't have each other's back. No, it's like we have your back in that we'll take our palm and push it against your back.
Right.
As the train's coming.
Right, right, right. Or as my ankle's being grabbed.
Oh, I got your back. Boom.
Right, exactly. Right. It's like a dab work already.
What song is that from? Did you do it?
Couldn't tell you.
I know. To do it right. That's all I know. I don't even know what song that is. I don't know what that is.
Got my mind set on you by the Traveling Wilburys.
Yes.
Right. All right, that sounds like a project.
There you go, see? Go have at it.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.